Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it is Red Teens here, and today we have another political commentary podcast. And so, I just want to start out is that I've heard from Twitter, from President Trump, that he is trying to get, I think, something passed. There was some kind of bill or something like that. He might get something passed, or it was he was talking about how the Democrats weren't helping him, or they were to attack him. But overall, I think that's what he said. But I'm not very sure on it, so I'm not going to really go into it because I don't have much evidence into it. So I'm just going to move on and go into our first news article. And the first one is, suspect in fatal California cop shooting is in the U.S. illegally, authorities say. And this is obviously another example of when Democrats constantly protect people like this. And then when stuff like this happens, Democrats just blame people who, like, have guns or something. And then they blame, like, gun control. And then when he's arrested and they find out that he only killed, like, maybe one cop, they say, oh, but why should we arrest him? That doesn't make any sense. Well, yeah, it makes sense because guess what? He killed someone, so he deserves jail. And so he deserved to come back. Because not only is he murdering someone, but he is also in the U.S. illegally, which means not only should he go to prison, but he should also be deported back to Mexico. And the news article today says the unidentified man alleged to be behind the slaying of New Men police captain Rene Segura, 33, is considered armed and dangerous. Satellites count. Country Sheriff Adam Christensen said during a news conference on Tuesday afternoon, vowing that the manhunt would relentlessly continue. This suspect is in our country illegally. He doesn't belong here. He's a criminal. We will find him. We will arrest him. And we will bring him justice. And this is why I also support the police and law enforcement like ICE. Because They're not saying that we should, like, encourage hatred toward immigrants and, like, suspect anyone who's an immigrant of being, like, a murderer. No, they're not saying that. They're saying is that they are trying to protect you. They're going to investigate them because if they have a shady past, they have to go and investigate. But people are constantly assuming that they're only investigated because they're Mexican and that this is all race and they're not actually launching an actual unbiased investigation. But that's just, it only happens maybe once out of like maybe 10 years or something like that. But overall, what I'm saying is that the idea that every single investigation into an immigrant who has either a shady past or does not have any like proper papers for immigration, the idea that it's just racist is just hypocrisy. Because they're saying that Republicans are encouraging racism. Well, they're the country that not only depicts them as weak and they aren't able to do anything for themselves, and that we should, or it's maybe not hypocrisy, but it's definitely a double standard. Because they're actually saying, oh, if a Republican's fault, because, like, if someone's murdered, they'll just blame the Republicans for guns. And if it's an illegal immigrant and Republicans are investigating him, they're going to say it's racism. So it's just a complete and total double standard on police officers in ICE. And it also says Singer was shot and killed during a traffic stop just before 1 a.m. Wednesday in New Men, about 100 miles southeast of San Francisco, to police. And I'm just saying, if you live in California, like I do, just be on the lookout. This is kind of just a reminder, if in case. But if you even notice any suspicious activity by someone who looks like him, obviously report it to the police as fast as possible, because you very likely can save many lives from the clutches of his brutal mind. And it really is that... This is just another showing from Republicans that not all immigrants are good people. There's no, like, every illegal immigrant is just an immigrant moving to America. No, there are immigrants like this who moved to America and who have a criminal past, and they're here illegally, and so when they don't get what they want, they kill someone. And then, then the people who are in, like, California, they protect the illegal immigrants. They completely just try to make it seem like the complete opposite happened, that the cop was just arresting them for racism and false murder. Well, but in real life, they've actually confirmed it. And so, it really is that these kinds of people, they're not all of them, like I've said before. I'm not saying all illegal immigrants are like this. No, many illegal immigrants that come into the country, I don't support them. But not all of them are like this. Not all of people like him, but there are those some that are bent on murder. They want to do illegal business in the United States, and they don't care how many lives they take before they're stopped. And so, I just want to put this into perspective. The Democrats want to always talk about how we should always be allowing illegal immigrants into our country. Well, think of it as if America is like your home. Would you want some person kicking down your door and saying, I get to live in this country, and if you don't, I'm going to tell everyone else that you're racist? And that is literally what Democrats are promoting, is that if you refuse to help an illegal immigrant who's taking your taxpayer money and putting it into his welfare, then it's racist. And I kind of don't want to stay into this really that much longer, because I've talked about how my stance on illegal immigration for probably some podcasting like that. So we're going to instead talk about something that revolves more into politics rather than crime. And it is Sanders fires back at network's criticism of soldiers after Trump's Iraq visit. The article is named CNN Will Attack Anyone. And yeah, if you know my perspective, I don't agree with CNN heavily. I think that they are very biased. They have a lot of news and anchors that don't actually explain, like, the whole story, because they've had many stories where they have just been putting new details, putting false details, taking parts out of it. And the story says, and the story that CNN says is that they're criticizing soldiers to bringing MAGA hats. And this is the thing. The Democrat Party wants to constantly promote that they are the tolerant party. If they are the tolerant party, as they say, why are they criticizing soldiers for expressing their First Amendment? Why are they criticizing that? Because in my opinion, that is just another example of Democrats putting hypocrisy. They're attacking people for speaking out the First Amendment. But when someone like an SJW is attacked for, like, yelling out F white men, then it's a distraction. Or not a distraction, I mean as in it's a disruption of their First Amendment. This person should be arrested. And so, in my view, it is just purely them protecting anyone who is aggrieved with their view. And they attack anyone that's even related to the Conservative Party. Even moderate Democrats, who they have some good views about Trump, not fully, obviously, because they're moderate Democrats, so they're obviously leaning left, but they are still attacked by people who are extreme leftists, because if they agree with anything with Trump, it's just wrong. And so, the article states is CNN was slammed for what way, including White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders called overwhelmingly negative coverage of President Trump's visit to the troops overseas. Both the president and the first lady, Melania Trump, surprised troops in station in Iraq the day after Christmas, which was followed by another visit with troops in Germany. And it also states that, however, there was barely a kind word toward the president regarding his trip overseas, at least on CNN. On Wednesday evening, the network's reporting drew attention to some troops bringing MAGA hats for the president to sign. And this is against guidelines, which forbids him participating in political events. But it's not really. They are just wanting to get their signed. They just want to get the hat signed, and they want to obviously keep it. It's their political opinion. And then Democrats want to constantly say, that's wrong. That's not right. People shouldn't be doing that. But then when they have Antifa freaking attacking everyone who... They're attacking everyone who is not on their ideology scale, at least in their mind. They just virtually say, oh, that's okay. They're expressing the First Amendment. That is not the First Amendment. That is the mob. Which, the reason is, and this was said by, I think, the Constitution, or it was somewhere in the major famous documents of America, was that we could not have a full democracy. If you think that we have a democracy, no, we actually don't have a democracy. We actually have a republic. The republic works by giving representation, by giving people the vote to vote for people who represent them to the government. And it's more effective because if there was like a full democracy, it would cause like a mob rule. It would cause like a mob rule because people would start, they would vote and there would just be like really no, they would only be like the president. And so it would just overall bring a more collapse to a country rather than supposedly working. And it also states is that Ella Watkins headlined, troops bringing Trump hats to sign may violate military rule. And so the thing is she says it's against military rule. I don't think it's actually against military rule. I might be wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong or not. But I don't believe that it's against military rule and that she just wants to get another headline in and try to depict Trump as what the Democrats think of him, as a fascist, white supremacist, sexist monster that they always think, they always think of Trump as having the minds of grabbing the female genitals and like that. But that's obviously untrue. So yeah, Trump has probably done very bad things in his life, but there are a lot of things that Democrats constantly promote that are actually untrue, or at least haven't been proven. And so, they're just using their influence to make other people think what they think. And that, in my opinion, when they're using false evidence, at least, because obviously they're obviously supposed to change people's minds, but when they're using false evidence, in my opinion, that's a heavy criminal offense, because they're virtually changing elections, and not just the election there, but they're changing the general election. And so, I kind of want to just say is that if CNN and any other news site tries to constantly say about how Trump is violating rules, he's becoming one of the worst presidents, just say to yourself, look, or at least look into the facts, see if they're wrong, see if they're right. As I've said, I'm not trying to change you, I am just trying to present my opinion, and I'm trying to present evidence of also my opinion. So you could check it out for yourself. I don't really care. But since we've got that over, we're going to move on to our next article, which is about the second person that died on the trip to the border. And this is the thing I always criticize about the articles like that. These parents are bringing their children at least 100 miles to the border. And they're just expecting what? They're expecting there to just be millions of tons and tons of water on the way, food, everyone giving them money. No. All there is crime, gangs, and cartels trying to get across the border. And so, it's just stupid and just astonishing that they are using it as another thing against Trump. And so it is just what I would call another example of the true Democrat. And the true Democrat, in my opinion, is a Democrat who refuses to tell the truth. They only want to believe what they think. And they never actually try and show anything to it. And I'm just saying, this, it could be because of the, because of like certain medical issues and like that, but it's mostly, in my opinion, the mother or the father's fault, because they're the people trying to bring them across the border. The Trump administration didn't tell them to go to the border. The Trump administration is actually trying to tell them, if you're trying to get to the border, well, guess what? We're going to stop you, because if you are trying, or at least, we're going to stop you if you're illegally crossing. And so, I just want to say, as this whole news article, and there's also a supposed girl, even though it was actually during, yeah, I think it was actually during the Obama era, because that's what I at least saw, is that it was actually years before the Obama, it was about a year or two, or maybe even three before the Trump presidency. And so, in my opinion, it's just another example of Democrats using a terrible situation and trying to turn against the Republicans. And I don't really know if it really was the father or mother's fault, or them both, and that it was actually like medical issues and not the staff taking care of them. But I at least have to say is, this is what's gonna this is what's happening at the border constantly. And if people want to constantly think that the border is an easy thing and that these ICE people are trying to just make it easy and try, as if these people are, like, as I said before in the beginning of the podcast, monsters, then they are wrong. They are just wrong, and they are just trying to demonize police. And so, we're going to move on to our next article, which is on CNN. All three of those articles were on Fox News. This one's on CNN. This one is the toll of drug use in San Francisco streets. And I've seen videos of San Francisco's crime and all of their problems. There are just needles everywhere. There are literally needles all over the place. There's never, like, you can almost never walk the street without seeing needles, or, as in what also happens, feces. Yeah, there's feces literally covering the streets. It's disgusting. And this is why I don't go to that many cities, because I don't want to experience stuff like that. And San Francisco city officials have been supposedly trying to improve it, but all they've been really doing is just putting up more like Medicaid. They're giving them more chances of getting medicine, which is obviously not working, which means it's just instead hurting the person rather than helping them. It's just giving them more of the drug, because in my opinion, yeah, the person probably needs their drug, because their body, once it starts having enough, if it doesn't have the drug, they could die. But you have to restrict the drug. You have to keep the person from taking a large amount. They can take a medium amount, but they cannot take a large amount. You have to very slowly restrict their drug use, because once they start seeing that it's making them feel better, they're gonna still have the drug, but it's gonna get smaller and smaller and smaller over time. And, well, not like cocaine or anything, not like those kind of drugs, but legal drugs, they're going to decrease it ever so. Illegal drugs, you stop it immediately. You do not even do what I'm saying, because with legal drugs, if you give them even half, they're gonna die. They're going to get addicted, and they're not gonna ever stop. So just take them away and never let them have it again. But overall, the drug use in San Francisco is horrendous. It is almost, in fact, horrifying to see in San Francisco of people just dying on the streets due to all of this all of like the opioid, the illegal drugs, all the Medicaid, all of that is just littering all of San Francisco, and it's just becoming such a big problem. And so I'm gonna actually grab some from the article. It says, outside the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in downtown San Francisco, a woman, but urinist was on the sidewalk and smokes a crack pipe. And it also states, inside her purse are about a dozen used heroin needles. She shoots heroin up 10 times a day, she says. Just saying, but that is extremely dangerous. You could easily die from just having five. Five is already risky. 10 is like, you are literally like the maybe 5% chance of dying. You are not like any 50% chance, maybe 40. No, you're like in the bare minimum. You are where you could either die or you might survive. And there also says about 50 yards away, a man ejects another woman in the neck with a needle, and she puts her thumb in her mouth and blows it to make her vein more visible. Her thumb is cracked in dried blood. And this is why Trump at one point wants to say, we have to take care of the opioid crisis. We have to fight it. And this is also, as I was about to say, this is the reason why he was going to put the death penalty for drug dealers. Because the drug dealers, because people are constantly saying, well, drug dealers, they're just giving out the drug. It's the people who are killing themselves. No. The drug dealers are not only illegally dealing, but they're giving that person a drug, which means technically that person is in their hands. But obviously the drug dealer doesn't care. They're just trying to get money and gain more power. And so, in a sense, at least in my opinion, it is an example of why we must fight the opioid crisis much more than just restricting the drug. We have to really go out there, get more and more people to stop, and try to also catch these criminals who are giving out illegal opioid. And it also shows that it says drug needle complaints in San Francisco as of October 2018. Over 7,500 complaints about discarded needles have been made, compared to just 132 a decade ago. Yeah, that's a lot. Because if you look at the graph, look at 2008, 132 complaints. And then look at 2018. 7,000, obviously 337 complaints. That's literally over 70 times the amount than now. And I've already explained why we should fight it. And yeah, the problem in San Francisco is beyond enormous. It is deadly and it is dangerous, and it is just what I would say another example why not only we must fight the opioid crisis, but why people now are starting to move out of California. And this is the fact. Lots of people have been moving out of California because of socialism and Democrats constantly talking about how, no, it's not bad. It's not, California is still such a great state. If it's such a great state, why is it that people are having over 7,000 needle complaints in this whole year? And this is actually not just of the year, but over the last 2 years, there's been almost 11,000 complaints in the last 2 years. And so I just want to end it right there, because the opioid crisis is pretty well summarized with, it has to be stopped, and people cannot just ignore it and keep saying that it's not that big of a problem. It's beyond big. It is a problem that will probably forever be with us, or at least it will forever be something that haunts people. And so we're going to move on to our next article, which is on Infowars.com. And it is talking about nearly half of student loans in distress. And yeah, student loans, as you know, they are always in big distress, and so it makes sense that a lot of students are in loan distress and that they are in big trouble with it. But if they constantly ignore it and like that, which I'm not saying they ignore it, many students probably do look at it, but if for the some that don't, it's going to hurt them obviously in the future. And so we're going to move on to the information. It says about $1.5 trillion in loan bubble. And so, that just accounts for loans held by the federal student aid. It doesn't include private loans. Meanwhile, the Department of Education says 43% of these government-backed loans are considered in distress. In a speech last month, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos put the current level of student debt into perspective. Quote, $1.5 trillion is almost impossible to fathom. So let me put it in this way. $1.5 trillion is more than 10,000 of someone else's student loan debt for each and every American taxpayer. 145 million of them. That is obviously a large number. And I know it's going to be definitely a big thing once you get into college and like that, and you have all the student loans to deal with. But I'm also pretty well, I think I have a good future, but I'm still obviously going to be looking at news articles like these and tracking it and trying to help, like, look into it, maybe, like, see if I want to get that much money or not. And it also says, most people saddled with this debt aren't paying it off. According to Vos, fewer than a quarter of student loan borrowers are paying their own principal. And yeah, that's also in addition to the problem, is that many, many students do not pay, they don't pay their debt. And so it's hurting Americans with this enormous debt that children, or at least irresponsible kids and teens and adults, or at least adults, I mean, not any kids or teens like that, but adults are bringing on to the future. And so it also cites another example of law school graduate Rick Tanney borrowed around $55,000 in 1990. He has since struggled to find employment and pay the bills, and today his student loan balance is ballooned as well as over $300,000. And as I've said, this is probably going, or at least I am not sure if I said it right, but this is definitely going to be a big problem, at least into the future, in my opinion, because it's going to give a lot of problems for the economy. It's going to give problems to parents who have to pay it, or at least pay some of it. And it's going to give problems to the future children, because then they're going to have that student loan debt still in there, and they're going to have to also help try paying it. And so, yeah, in conclusion, student loan debt, it's a big thing. We still need to obviously do some improvements to it, but overall, so student loan debt, in my opinion, it can be solved, but it's not going to be solved in a quick amount of time. It's probably going to take probably many years, and when I say many, I mean maybe even over 100 years or something like that for it to be resolved. And so we're going to move on to our next article, which is in the New York Times, which is the inevitability of impeachment. And I've talked, I think, about impeachment, but it's more about the Russia investigation. Donald Trump, in my opinion, will not be impeached. And if he is impeached, it's not going to be a good thing for Democrats. I think it's going to be disastrous, because the thing is, look at Bill Clinton. He was impeached, and he still won the next election. He still won the election, even with impeachment. So, in my opinion, it is a lie that saying, oh, Trump is inevitably going to be impeached. Well, maybe, but it doesn't mean it's going to affect him. It might actually help him, because it will prove to Americans that the Democrats are truly just people wanting to get Trump in jail and put in a new president that they actually like. And so, in my opinion at least, this is just something that I always find difficult to really explain to really, like, tough-minded people, that Trump is not going to be impeached, and as I said, if he is impeached, it's not going to hurt him. It's going to just maybe affect him a bit. It might even help him, as I said, but it's not going to get him removed. They don't have any evidence, or they at least have evidence that they have made, in their opinion, because this is the thing. Democrats like to use the feelings of people. They like to use the people's feelings as a motivation for impeachment. That's not motivation. That's just your opinion. That's everyone's opinion who don't respect Trump. And so, I don't think there's really much to go into this argument other than this person is trying to say that, oh, Trump will be impeached. And, as I said before, Trump could be impeached only because of the House. But I don't think he's going to get removed from office, and I think it's actually going to help his election if it turns out that the Democrats have been just leading an entire lie that they supposedly have made. And so I'm just going to switch to another article, because this article, in my opinion, I could just talk about it for maybe 10 minutes about how it's just not helpful and how it's just something that people are trying to always talk about. And this is to Republicans out there or Trump supporters out there. Don't worry. Trump, as I said, if he gets impeached, it will not work. It will not affect him. And as I've said many times into this section, it might help him. And so we're going to move on to our next article, which is in Washington Post. And it's also kind of, wait, no, let it load. I'm sorry for the load. But I was going to go at first with the first article that showed, but I'm actually going to move on to the next one, which is under the title Power Ploys. It says, Russian money and the French far right. Le Pen's party needed a loan if got a mess. The money failed to deliver Marine Le Pen the French presidency, and it dragged her party into the underworld of Russian cross-border finance, putting it into the league with people accused of having ties to Russian organized crime and money laundering. And as if I was going to grab this and use this into the Trump investigation, this is one reason why Trump would never make deals with Russia. Because it would not help him. He could have disasters like that. And so why would he get the help from Russians? Because he doesn't even like the Russians, because the Russians have been obviously trying to use the United States since the Cold War. And so it is just what I would call stupidity on the left. It is just stupidity at its worst. Because the left is constantly claiming that it would be great for Trump to deal with the Russians. No, this article just shows another reason why Trump would never organize himself or at least be connected to the Russians. Not only because it's illegal, but because it wouldn't even help him. It would just destroy his money, or at least it would destroy his organization. It wouldn't damage him in the future. And so, Trump, in conclusion of this, because I don't think I really have much in this article, I think, it doesn't seem like it has much of anything else other than talking about those events. But overall, it is really just explaining my point of view, which is Trump would never deal with the Russians. And I'm not going to move out of this article. I'm actually going to look a little bit into it, which says, 4 years later, the bank has gone bust. The owner is facing a warrant for his arrest. Former Russian military officers are demanding money, and the party's treasurer is sending off $165,000 every few months to a woman in Moscow, unsure where the payments ultimately go. The money failed to deliver to Le Pen the French presidency in last year's election, denying the Kremlin a powerful ally in the heart of Europe. Instead, the 9.4 million euro loan, the then worth 12.2 million, dragged her party into the world of Russian cross-border finance, and so put her in a lot of legal trouble. And it also states, the mysterious saga of the loans offer a rare look inside the Russian influence engine, demonstrating how people, companies, and networks outside the Kremlin pursue President Vladimir Putin's foreign policy aim, often without a centralized plan. And yeah, Vladimir Putin, in my opinion, he is a man trying to look for control. I'm not saying literally territorial-wise, but he is literally trying to take control of Europe, American politics, and like that. Because he's already attacked in Ukraine. He's been putting himself more and more with other communist countries like China and like that. He is just showing a plan of, I'm not saying that he's actually going to maybe incite this, because if, in my opinion, he does, it would not work very well. It would maybe do something for him, but as I said, it might not actually help him. But it is a sign to me that Vladimir Putin is doing very, very shady and very likely illegal stuff in the background. And he's making sure that he's covering his tracks. And this is the thing. He was a KGB agent. And if you've never known this, well, now you know, obviously. But he was a KGB agent. And so he knows how to cover his tracks effectively. He's not just doing this. He's covering his tracks. He's making sure that if there's any evidence pointing to Russia, it's not going to be pointed towards him, or if it's pointed towards him, it's not going to be very effective. And so, the rest of it says about the U.S. election interference, and how it also active measures to bolster Trump, the assessment added to precipitation in the United States, and beyond that, the Russian president personally, orchestrates, yeah, that was right, all of Moscow's COVID operations. And yeah, I still believe that he is leading operations. He's still leading illegal spying into countries to not only influence the elections, but to hurt the U.S. itself, its economy, and its cultures. And so, the rest of the article, as I see, is mostly just talking about Vladimir Putin's history and how he's trying to influence by what their account. And so we're going to move on to very likely our last article of today, and it is from MSNBC. It is why 2018 was a terrible year for the NRA. And if you've checked out certain podcasts, I am a big Second Amendment man. I believe heavily in guns. And I think that the NRA did not have a bad thing, had a bad year, because I think the NRA actually had a good year, because even though supposedly the Columbine and Parkland like shootings and like that, even though they've happened, I think it's still going, because there are still many ways that the NRA can just say, oh, they are wrong. And yeah, it's effective. It's a lot of times effective for the NRA, because the NRA really does think about what they do. They don't just think about what's happening and how they would react. Think about what they're going to do and what effective measures they have to do to obviously show their opinion. And so, it states about how U.S. voters are now turning against the NRA, that this is just another, that the NRA is just so terrible for the United States and like that, when in my opinion, the NRA is just a protector. I believe that the NRA is a big protector of the First Amendment. It protects the laws of the American citizens. And so, in my opinion, The NRA is not in any trouble. They might lose some sales, but they're not going to lose much. They're going to maybe get criticism and like that. But as I said, they're not going to lose to the Democrats. The Democrats are not going to push the NRA out. The NRA is not going to back down. And so it's another example of how Republicans are very strong-willed, that they are not going to just back down from something like that. And so I kind of want to end it on that because I don't really want to get into a rant about gun control and like that and about how it doesn't work. And so I just want to say is that I'm hoping to make maybe 2 tomorrow, maybe even 3 if there's a news alert. Actually, wait, no, probably not 3, probably 2. 1 political or reactions / commentary, or and a news alert. And so, in conclusion, I would just like to say thank you for listening and have a great Friday and a great rest of your night.